2 of the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That guy over there, that's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
And it's fall, y'all. We are rolling fall out. Did you know that, Bradley?
What?
It's fall.
No, it's not fall. Stop lying to people.
Okay, but the taste buds say it should be fall. Do you know why?
Why?
Couple reasons. You know the first one.
Yeah,
what's hitting the shelves?
Actually, I'm glad that you brought this up because I saw another story about this. I thought, is it just me or does it seem like Halloween candy is already popping up on store shelves? Turns out it really is. Now, in some places, not all. In fact, places like Target have said, stop the madness.
You know, they're also Susan Powder.
Like closing on Thanksgiving again. Like we finally closed the loop on that.
Isn't it funny how that just doesn't even register?
No, not anymore.
We're like,
but Halloween candy.
I mean, but like right now we're like, yeah, of course you're not going to be open. I mean, like we don't even care. That's not even a conversation year.
Who's doing? Can you imagine a Black Friday in 2020?
No.
I don't understand.
No, we have to change the name.
This
is not happening.
This is not happening.
Although I don't know, Sturgis is happening, so. Don't worry.
Really?
I'll get
you're
going to
go
later.
There?
I'll get up to that later. Don't worry
when
about it.
We're trying to have a very innocent conversation about Halloween candy. All right. I want to go back to this Halloween candy story that I saw on CNN. I was like, is it just me? No, it turns out that a lot of places, actually, COVID has had a very weird impact on Halloween candy overall. But on the one hand, more stores have started Halloween displays earlier and they've moved up their displays like 2 to 4 weeks. Now, the typical, get this, so the typical Halloween experience starts mid-August and early September. People have backed that up by a couple weeks, which makes sense because this is the first week of August.
And we got some feelings to eat. I mean, I'm going to need the mini Snickers.
Well, now, this is the other hand of this story. So on the one hand, they've moved up these Halloween displays because people are buying more and more candy. On the other hand, Hershey's, for example, has produced less and less actual Halloween marketed candy.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean packaged, like Halloween packaged specifically for Halloween. They've produced less and they've actually ramped up production of their regular candy offerings. And it all seems to be because consumers don't really want like the specific Halloween candy experience. They just want their favorite candies. And they don't need all that, you know, Halloween packaging.
Well, yeah.
But they do like the Halloween sized.
That's what I was going to say. It's not that they need. It's not that they. It's not that they. I mean, you can get candy year round. I don't know if you guys know that.
It's true. It's totally
true. It's totally true. You can get full size candy any old time you want. But
nobody's buying full size candy bars.
No, because here's why. There's somebody I know in my life who believes that if you eat mini burgers, you can eat more of them.
Yeah, I know who that person is.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we use that same kind of justification when it comes to our Snickers.
Yeah, well,
nobody's eating
Snickers. Biggest
Snickers
lie.
Are trash, and we know that.
Go to our favorite retail establishment. Well, actually, I'm not going to speak for you. One of my favorite retail establishments for the glutton in me.
I was going to say, does it rhyme with Roscoe?
Yeah. Costco, like you'll find a 5-pound bag of candy, but it's all like fun size bites.
Yeah. And you're so like, great, I can eat so much of that.
So instead of like 3 fun size bites, it's 3 handfuls of fun size bites,
which is
every time I walk through the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that
does not lead to fun size.
That's why. Well, no. Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of fun.
Good call.
But what I will say is, so we have seen that more candy is being produced, more candy is being eaten. It's just not in that traditional, like, boo, Halloween style.
Look, can I also ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we having Halloween this year? Like,
I kind of feel like Halloween is perfect holiday for COVID.
Maybe it is. We just haven't had a family conversation about this yet.
A, it's outside.
B, everybody has masks on.
Everybody has masks on. And C, like, I'm all in because I never do this anyway. So I don't have to interact with anyone.
Okay, wait. So wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Did my ears deceive me? Are you going to do it this year?
No, I'm saying I normally don't do it, so I'm all in.
Yeah, fine.
Like, it works for me.
No harm, no foul. Can I just pause and go another season and then we're going to come back to fall. But I just had this realization this weekend that like winter is going to suck, but it's also going to be awesome because like sledding and everybody has masks on.
Yeah.
Like everybody has their faces
outdoor
covered
activities,
in winter.
Everybody in the state of Minnesota, and by everybody, I mean like all of the people that love to do the things outside. I'm not one of them. But everybody
else. But the rest
else,
of you people.
Yeah, but you have to say that when you're in Minnesota. Otherwise, people are like, arr! And then you got to sit there and listen to them tell you about stories about how amazing downhill whatever is. Ski-joring. Mm-hmm.
Ski-joring?
That's like a thing that people do and they get just really... Anyway, I want you to have your winter sports.
Okay.
The moral of
you
my
just don't
story,
want to do them.
I just want to do them. The moral of my story is, yeah, like you just know everybody's going to be out in full force this winter in a way that they weren't normally.
100% true. Yeah. So do you want to know the other way that we know that fall is here?
Yeah.
Dairy Queen is rolling out their pumpkin spice.
Oh my God, we're doing pumpkin spice already?
Oh, yeah.
Like literally right now?
Yeah, pretty much. And actually, I am 99.992% sure that Starbucks already has rolled out some pumpkin spice. I could be wrong. But just so you know, Dairy Queen is making it happen. They're not only bringing back the pumpkin pie blizzard, which remember had like pie crust chunks in it, which doesn't sound sexy, but
I don't crave pumpkin anything, but whatever. I'm happy for people.
Well, they've added another one to the roster.
Which is?
Pumpkin cookie butter shake.
Ooh. I mean, I bet that would be good. I love cookie
pumpkin
butter.
Pumpkin and cookie butter.
Well,
all
remember,
in a shake.
Cookie butter is that like spice cookie?
Yes.
Cookie, the cookie, cookie butter flavor is cookies is typically that spice, that spice cookie, that Biscoff cookie.
Yep.
And that pairs perfectly with pumpkin.
Yeah. See, so, you know what? I think we should add this to the, would you do me a favor? I think I have a tab somewhere on our, everybody, this is on air production. I might have put it on another one, but anyway, if you can find my list that I made of things that we need to eat for our, cheat day. It's on there somewhere. We'll find it.
I thought you were talking about a sound.
No. Administrative task. But we should add that to the list because I'm here to try anything, but I like anything with cookie butter.
Yeah.
I'm the pumpkin spice is on notice, but I'll allow it so I can get to the cookie butter. And also Dairy Queen.
I've never liked pumpkin spice. I do appreciate the spices in pumpkin spice, but for some reason...
Honey, but then what part of it is that you don't
like? I don't know,
because
when
I
hear
the spices...
But when I hear the pumpkin part, I'm like, it just... I'm not saying
triggering.
It's rational.
Mm-hmm.
I think of pumpkin pie, and I don't like pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Nobody likes pumpkin pie.
That's not true. That is absolutely a falsehood.
You like the pumpkin pie spice, but do you really like pumpkin?
Yes.
Like, you don't eat pumpkin anywhere other than...
And I eat it in soup.
That's true. Okay, I'm lying. I'm full of trash today.
Thank you. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, here's somebody who's... there it is. Somebody who's not full of trash, Howard Stern. He's speaking some actual truth, and this time it has to do with Ellen DeGeneres. We're going to talk about that after this on My Talk 107.1. Well, Howard Stern is saying some intelligent things today regarding Ellen DeGeneres on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hi. And Bradley, you know, I actually find Howard Stern to be delightful and incredibly smart in so many ways, but he's actually speaking about Ellen DeGeneres and the situation we find ourselves in with Ellen DeGeneres present.
They've had a complicated relationship in the past.
Okay, so say more about that, because I know that they have a friendship now, right?
Yep. I think they've, you know, because remember most recently he was on her show and then they kissed.
Oh,
and that was
right,
when he
right,
had his book
right.
coming out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the exact, I'm just wanting to open up your article because I think your article had the details, or maybe I read something somewhere else.
I think read it elsewhere.
It very likely is that, that I read it somewhere else. So now I'm going to try to pull it out of my brain. And I think if I remember correctly, she reportedly was trying to prevent Howard Stern from coming on to the judging panel at America's Got Talent. Like, she was going to put her foot down.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That, if I remember it correctly, it was that. And then he went off on her. And they have since buried the hatchet. I know there's more to that story. And yeah, no doubt a listener will fill us in
no,
with
but
the details.
That actually, I mean, that's really interesting. And that lends, like, sort of a lens, sort of a different lens to the story. But apparently they have, as you said, buried the hatchet. And they're friends now. Or at least friendly. And what he says, and actually, he's going to be on her... her show, Ellen's Game of Games, the game that I, or the show that I think is like the cruelest show.
It's
so cruel.
Everybody who watches that does that. Well, not everybody. A lot of people who watch that, if they probably had a familiar sense or a similar sense of Ellen as we did, will say things like, yeah, it's not hard to believe that Ellen was kind of, you know, rude behind the scenes. Yeah. Have you ever watched Game of Games?
Right.
She seems to delight.
It's like, it should be called Game of Schadenfreude because she just delights in people being in pain and being scared. And it's just bizarre. In any case, Howard Stern is giving advice to Ellen DeGeneres. And that advice is simply like, be a jerk. Be who you are.
Yeah.
If that is... who you like, rebrand yourself. And I don't actually disagree with him, because I think part of the problem right now with Ellen DeGeneres is that she's made a name for herself as this, like, the kind one, the one who's gonna push kindness. But what we're hearing is that she is the exact opposite behind the scenes. And so if we want anything, I think what we want from Ellen is for her to be genuine. And if being genuine for her is not being a very kind person, then go with that.
Yeah. Howard Stern has said, you know, what's interesting is he kind of does it in a backhanded way, though. And he says, like, you know, me, I'm known as a jerk on the air, but behind the scenes, everybody loves me. You know, like, he has.
Which I actually do think is true.
Well, of course it is. And this is something we've heard for years. My point, though, is that. There's a different, like, Howard Stern has had an evolution in his career, and he talked about it in his most recent book, and he was very open about how he's sort of changed as a human being the older he's gotten and as a result of his life experiences. The same is not true for Ellen, in a sense, at least at this moment, and here is a moment in her career now where she has a choice, and she can face the reality and the changing nature of you know, personality and celebrity, and as it relates to her own life. Or she can just double down and, you know, run her brand into the ground, because, you know, the bloom is off the rose. We're all seeing this truth. And now it's up to her to determine how she's going to do that next chapter. To Howard's suggestion that she needs to just, you know, if she's a jerk, just be a jerk, right? I just think, like, just be yourself. The problem with that is she can't be herself because she is her brand. She can do it in another form. Kind of like Oprah. Like, Oprah had to leave Oprah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Oprah had to go out on her own. Well, she was already out on her own. But she had to separate herself from the idea of Oprah as Oprah, the talk show host.
Right.
Right? And, you know, she was also an actress. But mostly, for most people, it was that notion of Oprah on that television show.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to open a new chapter of her life, and that was OWN, like the network, and that stumbled. It was not, she just thought she would bring her same Oprah magic to that. That wasn't the case. You'll remember there were some obvious stumbles that she made, and at first it was like she was just going to go away and she wasn't going to be successful. And she really, you know, decided to, you know, focus on the things that were struggling and deal with them and react and change. And I think that's where Ellen is right now. So I don't know what it is Ellen needs to be on the outside, but it's not going to be Ellen is kind, because that's not selling anymore.
Well, and that's, I mean, here's what she cannot go back to that. There's no question. Like, there isn't anything for her back at that well. That the bloom is off the rose.
Well, also, the world's moved on. We're not in a place where we're totally comfortable with that.
No, not at all. So I don't think it is. I don't think that Howard Stern is incorrect in the sense that she does need a rebrand. What that looks like, I don't quite know, because what I do know is you were bringing up Oprah. I would bring up, and I've done it before, Rosie O'Donnell, because when she had to, when she kind of departed from the Queen of Nice, the public was not there for it. The public did not, I mean, they came for her. And I also wonder if there's not something a little bit, I'm going to say it, a little bit sexist about this, where it's not as easy to see a woman step out of that kindness role. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right about that. I mean, it's not easier for women to well, first of all, it's not easy for women to not be perceived as nice.
Right.
Or to not be perceived as not nice, rather.
Right.
So that is absolutely true. I think in terms of Rosie made a very concerted effort to be mean. After having been nice.
That is true.
Whereas I think the thing with Ellen is she was pretending to be this thing, or the perception is that she was pretending when it doesn't seem to be the truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's the lie that people really got frustrated about. I think with Rosie as well, it was also like, there were all these people who were like, we didn't show up for your politics.
Right.
And I think that's unfair to some degree for people in general, and probably for women more so. People have a smaller tolerance for women with opinions.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Colleen and Bradley Show. A woman with an opinion.
Which I tolerate most wholeheartedly.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, those
tolerate's
opinions...
Tolerate's not the word. You know what I meant.
I know, you celebrate. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we're going to talk about some D-bags. We got opinions about them after this on My Talk 107.1. Oh, celebrities behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1 streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And we have a name for these celebrities behaving badly, and that name is...
D-Bags.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who's your bag of D, Colleen?
It's Smash Mouth.
What the heck is a Smash Mouth?
You know what Smash Mouth is. That's a band.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
Hey there, you're an all-star.
Oh,
that song, you know them?
Get your game on.
Go play. Well, they're getting their game on.
Uh-oh.
At a rally in Sturgis.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
No!
They're in Sturgis, and Steve Harwell, who's the 53-year-old frontman of California rockers Smash Mouth, opened up the entire beginning of their concert at Sturgis.
Yep.
By saying, "Bleep that COVID bleep," and then everybody started to applaud.
That COVID
no,
bleep,
I feel but... that way, but I don't think he meant it the way we feel it.
Probably not.
Right. So, by
especially
the way,
if he was performing in front of a crowd.
That's the thing. So this is all part of the Sturgis Rally, which is a yearly motorcycle rally in Sturgis, South Dakota, that has welcomed up to $250,000. People.
$250,000 people.
Well, more than that. I mean, you know, if we're talking in dollars. For the 80th annual motorcycle rally, it's a 10-day gathering. Usually it draws double that, but it's still... Have you seen videos of the people?
They're
shoulder to shoulder.
I have, and I literally... I had a dream last night that we were at an awards show. I don't know if it was like the Academy Awards, but it was a big celebrity award show, and we were going to get an award for something. I don't remember what. It's irrelevant.
Cool, we were? Oh my gosh, wait, I want to go back to your dream.
But the whole time, I was like... This is really not acceptable, and I don't understand why everybody is acting as though this is totally fine. Nobody's wearing masks. Anyway, the point is, I'm dreaming about crowds being scary. And mm-hmm. here they are at Sturgis, like, no worries in the world. These people are partying it up, drinking it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy!
No, it's true. And there was the lead singer of Smash Mouth saying, bleep it. Bleep it all.
I just, you know, I hate to do that regional thing because, you know, I come from a lot of places. But one place that I came to Minnesota from was Texas. And that's a place that, you know, people that are not in Texas will often point to Texas and be like, everybody in Texas is dumb because they do this. And look, there are a lot of dumb people in Texas. There are a lot of all sorts of bad people in Texas, mm-hmm. a lot of bad dudes.
There's a lot of dumb people in all the states.
But I hate when people just, like, you know, write off an entire state of people because they're like, oh, it's dumb. I've got to say to the good people of South Dakota, what are you doing?
Right.
How are they letting this happen? Like, it doesn't surprise me that there are fools who will show up for this.
Mm-hmm.
It surprises me that there are people in positions of authority and responsibility who would let that happen.
Yeah.
And you can say, like, well, can you really stop people? Hey, I can't go into a Target without a mask on. Surely they can come up with a way to prevent this from happening. Only because, think about, if you were in South Dakota right now, and a lot of people, I know a lot of people in South Dakota. I don't know anyone.
You probably know somebody right now. There's a lot of people there.
I hope they're listening. You know, if I were one of those people who's like, yeah, we've done basically better than a lot of, like, densely populated states / metro areas because we're sparsely populated. We haven't had the huge outbreaks that a lot of people have had. Wouldn't you want to keep it that way? And,
right.
like, welcoming in a bunch of people from around the world?
Well, I would also
in
like
this
to,
moment does I, not seem like a good idea.
Can I also just tell you something that's going to make you really not happy?
Oh, God.
Do you know of a state that might border South Dakota?
Stop!
All I'm trying to say is that people are going to be rolling
yeah,
through.
Yeah, there's going to be people from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who
or
come
people
back,
who are rolling through Minnesota.
Go through, you know, the airport. And mm-hmm. look, travel, fine. Risk, fine.
Yeah, but they're not going through the airport. Because they're on their bikes. They're biking through
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah,
you don't have a lot of people flying to Sturgis.
Well, not I bet with their bikes
like,
in tow.
Sturgis wannabes, but yeah.
No, these people are going to be rolling through.
Coughing on things as
yep.
they...
in our restaurants, in our Targets. Freeway. Yeah. I know. Sorry.
Again, look, it doesn't surprise me that people are doing this. It surprises me that that cooler heads are not prevailing.
Mm-hmm. That's my D-bag. Who's
you
yours?
Imagine? Who? Oh.
I know.
Just from like a visceral standpoint, I wouldn't even be able to be within that area without like
right?
running away screaming.
Sanitizing people's faces.
Yeah, like spraying 40, not 409, because that's not going to do a thing. Lysol. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's your
oh, God. Julianne Hough.
Oh.
Hake. Remember Hake?
Yeah, I do remember Hake. Hake is a publicationship. What's a publicationship?
It's a relationship for publicity.
And what is a Hake?
Julianne Hough and Brooks Lake. Now, mm-hmm. this is the relationship that ended, the marriage that ended, right? But, like, we still talk about them. And actually, I said Julianne Hough only because she's the topic of this article, but really actually not. And I think because, remember, U.S. or U.S. Americans... Us Weekly.
They don't have maps.
Well, Sturgis.
Yeah. Thank you.
Us Weekly seems to be Brooks Lake territory. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems to drop hints to Us Weekly about stuff that's going on in his life as a means to keep himself in headlines, right? So that happened over at Us Weekly yesterday. Headline, Julianne Hough says she's happy amid Brooks Lake divorce. So at first I was like, what is Julianne Hough telling people she's happy for? Like, I mean, I'm happy for her, but, like, why is that newsworthy, right?
Right.
So then they just talk about this Instagram. She snapped an Instagram photo, which, by the way, another tabloid said she looked like Jennifer Aniston. I was like, okay, slow your roll. Slow your roll. She's beautiful.
But she does not look like
but
Jennifer Aniston.
I don't need to know that we need to do that anyway. So then I'm reading into this article, like, oh, it's
wait
just-
a minute, hold on, because... I don't think Us Weekly said she looked like Jennifer Aniston. I think no. one of the players did. Meaning, I'm sure whoever leaked this story said, look,
oh,
she looks
yeah,
like
yeah,
Jennifer
yeah.
Aniston.
And it wasn't Us Weekly, to your point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was another tabloid. But yes, I imagine it was her saying that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But moral of the story is, it wasn't really even about Julianne Hough, because as I'm reading, it's like, oh, this is an Instagram post. Okay, dumb. But then I get, or typical, I guess I shouldn't use the word dumb loosely. In this day and age, it's overused, and there are actually
we have a whole segment about it.
Crazy, stupid idiots.
Thank you.
But after you get there, then I get to this. The Utah native, that's Julianne Hough, who announced her split from Lake in May, shared the smiley photo 2 weeks after the former NHL player gushed about the couple's nuptials on his podcast.
So this is an advertisement for the podcast How Men Think.
Exactly.
Which, again, I don't need a podcast for. I live in the world.
On his July 27th episode, quote, I have friends. Now, please sit with this. I have friends that have had to postpone their wedding, and my heart absolutely breaks for them, because reflecting on my own wedding and how that was just like the greatest time of my life, I just want everybody to have that experience.
Translation.
Like, honestly, like, wow. So I've stopped what I'm doing so that you could tell me something I don't need to know, which has nothing to do with anything other than your dumb podcast. Kudos, Mr. Lake, for getting more attention than you've probably deserved for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally, he's just talking about his podcast. So he got Us Weekly to do an article, Presto Changeo. You think it's about Julianne Hough.
Yep.
But it's actually Brooks Lake going, hey, look at this Julianne Hough Instagram post. By the way, my latest podcast episode is how I felt bad for my friends who, I'm sorry, there are people who are not doing well.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think they teach this in celebrity PR school?
I hope so, because
like
if they don't, I'm going to.
Like how to hijack somebody else's story so that you can get attention for your own dumb podcast?
Yes.
They do teach it.
No, I mean, they don't, but they should.
They should.
I'm saying, yes, you're speaking truth.
I feel like we could teach that unit.
I told you, the minute this radio station or this radio show experience ceases to be our primary driver in life.
Yeah. We're going to open a consulting firm.
Oh, yeah. We should just do it now anyway on
How
the side. How to Hollywood with Colleen Bradley.
That's it. That was easy.
Write that down. Call us, celebrities.
Thank you. Call us. Why aren't
call
you
us.
Calling? We got all kinds of advice. We can tell you how to do this thing. Hey, speaking of publationships, which, by the way, is a word that we created, and I, by the way, have seen it tossed about.
By?
In the ether.
Where?
Oh, okay. So let's go down this rabbit hole very quickly. Because I know that you also follow this Instagram. It's called Dumois.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there's like a separate Facebook page. So Dumois is like some socialite who spills tea on their own Instagram feed about all the celebrities. Then there's this separate Facebook page for people who follow Dumois who are trying to figure out what her blind items are.
Yep.
And on that Facebook page, I have seen people start tossing around the word publationship. I don't know if it's because they listen to our show, but I do know that we coined that term here. And a publationship is a relationship for publicity. And this is definitely a thing because they talk about it in Hollywood. They just don't use the name that we came up with. Publationship. Speaking of publationships, we have another publationship to talk about when we come back. This one is called A Flarmus. And the headline is A Flarmus has struck back at Grouper. It's going to be big. I'll tell you all about it. Who's a Flarmus, who's Grouper, and who's striking with who? After this, on the Colleen and Bradley Show, on My Talk 107.1. We've got a publationship we need to talk about on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
I think we just went over it, but for those who are just joining us, what is a publationship, Bradley?
It's a relationship for publicity, often exhibited by celebrities.
Okay, so I have two that I want to talk about, and basically here's the headline. A Flarmus is striking back at Grouper. What's an aflarmus?
I love this. People just tuning in are like,
what
are you talking about?
What language is this?
Aflarmus is Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas.
I still love that one. I just think it's so good.
Aflarmus.
And they're striking back at Grouper. What's Grouper?
That's Jennifer Garner and Bradley Cooper, allegedly.
Okay, so here's what's fun about following the publicationship. And this is why you can play the home game. You start to see this thing where there's like a teeter-tottering of using the paparazzi to communicate to other publicationships.
Yeah.
So in this case, the story goes like this. The other day, I think it was like 2 days ago, right?
Yep.
We saw pictures of Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Garner mm-hmm. on the beach.
Yep.
And like, they weren't like doing anything. Like they weren't like touching anything or like, you know, smooching or any of that stuff. They were just on the beach in different attire. He was wearing just swim trunks. She had a sweater and a skirt on. And they were playing. They were like building a sandcastle with his daughter.
Yep.
But the paparazzi were all over this. And that's when we were like, oh, this is a publicationship. We're going to call it Grouper. Well, now we've done another paparazzi walk with Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, who we call Aflarmus. Today, we wake up to pictures of the two of them sharing an intimate kiss on, by the way, Barry the lead on set mm-hmm. of the movie that Ana de Armas is yeah. currently filming. Yeah. This is an undisclosed project in Malibu. On Monday afternoon, the two of them, he showed up to visit her on set, and the paparazzi somehow, and I want to sit with that for a second. Like, what are the paparazzi doing on set?
Because she called them.
Exactly. Thank you. And there they are just making out. At one point, she's kissing him through the mask. Mm-hmm. I want to advise against that.
What do you mean, kissing through the mask? Oh, like
he has his mask on masks. And she's kissing the outside of his mask.
That sounds nasty.
But don't do that, because that's the dirty side.
Yeah.
She's putting her lips on the dirty
frankly,
side.
Frankly, the other side is the dirty side, too. It belongs to Ben Affleck. So you're basically saying that this was their, like, oh, we see your Grouper, and we'll up
we'll
you in a
flarmus. We'll raise you in a flarmus.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. So this is what's fun about this, is you start to pay attention to this. You start to see how they publicly are playing out, like getting little jabs at each other. It's like a teeter-totter.
So I have an interesting wrinkle. Oh. Would you like to hear it?
No, but yes. What's the wrinkle?
I have to do this thing the right way. Hold
okay.
on.
Mm. Blinded by the item. Oh, look at you bringing it.
Oh, listen to this. Now, go with me.
I never left you. I'm always with you.
This is a blind item that might just be relevant to the story we're talking about. That former naked celebrity has been spending even more time at the home of this A-plus list, mostly movie actor who was supposedly deeply involved with the foreign-born A-minus list actress.
Okay, there's a naked celebrity that's been hanging out with Ben Affleck, who more recently has been connected with Ana de Armas.
De Armas, poor thing. Yes. However, here's what we don't know:
is who the naked celebrity?
The naked celebrity, the former naked celebrity. But I will tell you that the comments suggest, and I don't know enough about Shauna Sexton. She has sex in her name, but I think she's a Playboy, former Playboy model.
Yes, she is, and they used to date.
Yes.
Remember that?
So I think that's what, at least in the comments, people are saying Shauna Sexton. Some people also say Kendra Wilkinson.
So she was one of the girls next door. She used to be married to Hank Basket.
So did she have a relationship with Ben?
That I don't know.
But I think the Shauna Sexton one makes sense. But anyway, so what they're suggesting is, let's say it's Shauna Sexton, that she's been spending even more time at the home of Ben Affleck, who was supposed to be deeply involved with, by the way, up until today or yesterday, you didn't see them together for a while.
Yep.
Ana de Armas. So what's interesting about this is perhaps this was a way to like get back in, because remember, it was like not a day would go by a month ago that we didn't see a Aflarmus walking their dog
mm-hmm.
or doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. This is okay. That is a wrinkle, and this is interesting. And it also is completely not out of the realm of possibility, because I think Ben Affleck is a noted person who gets around. What's that called?
Man whore?
That.
Okay.
He's a noted one of those.
But, you know, it also lends credibility to something I think we've talked about with this publationship, that it's a publationship, right? That, like, the point of this publationship is not that they're actually together. Although sometimes that is, you know, sometimes people actually are in a relationship. It's just that they use that relationship for publicity. Whereas there are also publationships wherein the people are using each other to, even though they're not in a relationship, right?
I do also want to say this one thing and then another thing. May I say two things? Mm. One thing is that I watched Knives Out. Have you watched that movie?
No.
It is
And that's with Ana de Armas?
Fantastic. Yes. And she especially is great in it. So that's like, so I feel
like she's
I've got
a good
whole,
actress is what you're saying.
So I feel exactly.
So she knows how to play the role.
I feel like I have a whole different outlook on her now, because I feel like I know her in a different way because I watched the dumb movie. That's number one. Are you ready for number two?
Of course. I'm always ready for a good number two.
That was necessary. This comes courtesy of our listener, Marie, who writes, "Love it when you Google the word publationship. Under Google Images is a beautiful picture of the two of you."
Aww.
That just makes me smile. So fun. Keep up the good work. Now, first step, you need to know the word publationship in order to Google it. But I feel good knowing that we are associated with the identification of the publationship.
Literally, I think we created it, although technically somebody did use it in 2012 in the comments.
I don't want to talk about that.
But nobody has like done it, so it's our thing.
Yeah, we own it. Now remember when we tried to make swap a doozy a thing?
Oh my god, we are trash.
Well, it turns out we just were onto the wrong word.
Also,
because now publationship is a thing.
Why did we stop pushing swap a doozy?
I'm not sure. I think we got made fun of by our coworkers. They were like, it didn't catch on.
Swap a doozy. We need to bring that back. 2020 requires
2020 needs swap a doozy. Yes,
we actually need to swap a doozy for 2020.
I wish we could swap a doozy. It's been a doozy. I'd swap it.
Exactly. We need to
remember when we thought 2016 was the worst because people kept dying.
My God.
Like celebrities were dying.
I would take all them dead celebrities all over again. I mean, not new.
Okay. the same old ones.
Let's sacrifice a new crop.
No, we want the same old ones, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And remember Snowmageddon? I mean, we've been through so much.
We really have. Remember, like, there was a royal wedding.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You take the good, you take the bad. Take them both, and there you have.
Facts of life, man.
It's true, man. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, more about the surviving Jeffrey Epstein docuseries on Lifetime that we both watched. We're going to talk a little bit about a lawsuit between Virginia, who's the main kind of person, and Alan Dershowitz, and some more information about Ghislaine Maxwell after this on My Talk 107.1.